This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Door. Bumper. Clear.
This is Door Bumper Clear, presented by OfferPad, and I am TJ Majors. We had a big weekend in Dover and are back to talk all about it. Today we'll discuss Justin Allgaier's race in the DBC car, wheels coming off the cup cars, Ross Chastain and Martin Truex Jr. in the last lap, and much, much more. Here we go.
The best on the stand and the best in the booth. Stumbling the Monday to tell you the truth. Giving the opinions and breaking the rules. Get called to the holler to bring it to you. Casey, you pretty. Freddie, you fat. TJ, you suck. Brent ain't so bad. Jason is facing contemplating this race. And if someone don't crash, then he's gonna go mad. Looking for Freddie, he's killing the bottle. Casey is making messes like a toddler. Tweet something stupid, then don't even bother. Brent's gonna block you like TJ is his spotter. See them online, throw FF in the chat. Tell Rick where to stay off the track. All of the podcasts are living in fear. This isn't the download, it's Door Bumper Clear. Nah, don't get it twisted, baby. This isn't the download, nah. This is Door Bumper Clear.
There you go, I like it.
Hey everybody, I'm TJ Majors, spotter of the 6 Cup car, the 6-8 Xfinity car, and this is the 250th show.
It is. And we celebrated with a Bojangles biscuit this morning.
Absolutely.
Brett Griffin, spotter for Colic Racing, fresh out of Dover, Delaware. Dover Motor Speedway now, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that the branding
of it? Yeah. What's up? Freddie Krause, spotter for Bubba Wallace, Landon Castle. I'll have Derek Krause again back this week.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
We're truck racing?
We're truck racing all
week. Where are we this week?
Racing. We're in
Darlington.
God, I love that place. It's only 80 miles from Myrtle Beach.
No way you didn't already know that. There's certain races that
He's probably on his way there right after the show.
I want to leave right now, go to Columbia and Darlington and Myrtle Beach.
Columbia.
Tell me, you want to go with me?
No, I don't got a passport.
You want to talk about Columbia by chance? I mean, it's 250th show.
I told you, it's a beautiful country.
For Freddie's sake, I'm going to introduce myself and move on from this topic. Casey Boat here, marketing professional and official babysitter of Door Bumper Clear. And of course, we have the lovely...
Producer Jason Schultz, fresh back from Dover, did a lot of content.
What was your title this weekend in Dover? I'm just curious.
Director of content and social media. I was in charge of all the content. Director of sarcasm, too, with Landon Castle and Daniel Hemrick. That
I
would have
thought you at least upgraded yourself to vice president.
I know. I would have been something bigger.
I was directing everything. We were
CCO, chief content officer.
We were taking a lot of photos, taking a lot of video.
Really cool for them guys to play around with you, right?
Yeah.
Did they invite you in, or did you just bust up in the truck?
Of course, I just busted up. I own the place.
Landon's a lot like a lot of other drivers in the series. They don't ever listen to the show until you say something about them.
Who's Landon?
And then Castle.
Who's Landon?
I promise Landon, you, if we talk a bunch of about him right here now, he'll mention it to me tomorrow when he talks
I'm sure he will. Well, I don't know about 100%. You guys, but I think that celebrating our 250th episode was a... We had the perfect way to celebrate it by watching the Door Bumper Clear car on
finish second.
That was Saturday. Great. I don't know. I wish I was there. I had severe FOMO because it looked like a lot of fun, and Justin was on it.
I didn't know what FOMO meant until last week, and I asked my good friend Nicole at New Track Solutions.
It's
fear of missing out. So
did
Casey,
you really not know what that meant?
Casey had FOMO while we were all in Dover. So
didn't
while you were having
us?
FOMO.
Yes.
I went down there in my Door Bumper Clear t-shirt, and I took a picture by the car, and I had a nice pre-race meeting with Justin, which clearly went well. He listened to all the advice that I gave him.
I'm sure.
But no, man, I will tell you this. Of all the things I was proud of, that fire suit was freaking gorgeous.
I know, it was.
It was pretty.
Everything they did for that. The car looked great. Everything they did.
I have actually called Mike Davis, and I've demanded a 33-race primary sponsorship next year with Door Bumper Clear.
Good luck.
Yeah. Well, I thought you were going to say you were going to try to put the fire suit on, and I was going to strongly disagree. Yeah.
I think we can make this. We can try. I can ask Justin for the suit, see if you can try.
I would pay to probably see Brett try to squeeze
it. I will strip down butt naked right now
and
try to put that thing on. I think you're not going to do that. I think that would be
it. You would fit in it.
It will not come above my knees. It will not come above my knees.
Absolutely not.
And I don't want to say I've been in Justin Allgaier's pants, so never mind. I've changed my mind. I'm out.
Well, way to make it inappropriate. But I will say, I have never been more proud to be a part of Door Bumper Clear, seeing all the fans support.
Oh, that's cute. You want to come give Brett a hug? I mean,
no, this wasn't Brett. This is not
Brett. It's part of the group. I mean,
there are exceptions, but
super proud moment.
I think it was cool. And thank you to Junior Motorsports, to Mike Davis, to Dirty Mo Media for making it happen. It was awesome.
Top five proudest moments of my life to see a race car on track. And that's a big statement because I've been a part of a lot of paint schemes, a lot of sponsorships, a lot of awesome moments, wins, all the things. But to see, I mean, Mike Davis, myself, were standing in a parking lot 5+ years ago. And he's like, if you'll be the same guy on this podcast that you're on Twitter, I think this will work. And I was like, all right. He said, I'm bringing TJ Majors in. It's going to be a spotters only podcast. This is what we're going to do. And now look at us. We've come from the basically doing it in a closet on a couch.
Doing it
to,
in a
to
closet
To got our own studio,
couch.
TJ. Like, can you believe that this is what's happened?
Yeah, that was a closet. It's funny that, you know, we were kind of like punished when we were in there. And then Dale Jr. comes in and does one show. And next thing you know, there's a gigantic studio over there.
Yeah. He's and, like, this is not appropriate.
Yeah. And then
these guys deserve more than this.
We've so built a studio. We've grown it so big that
we have our own studio now.
He came on here. Like, he said, I got to be a part of it.
Yeah. Yeah. And he even tweeted last week about Door Bumper Clear. Protected at all costs, he said.
And he knows that car looked good.
He knows that car looked great.
He knows it did.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
He might not admit it, but
I'm a little bummed that I wasn't on the car, but, you know.
I saw a really good idea somebody had, and we'll have to do this the next time. Somebody said we should have put Casey on the tail panel so that everybody would have wanted to stay behind the car to look at Casey.
I think he said it in a little bit more inappropriate words, but yes.
Well, I wasn't going to say that, Casey. I was just going
to,
you know.
I agree. I'm willing to test out the theory. So not his version.
Not his actual theory?
Not his version. All right. But anyway,
Jason, I have an idea. I think we should do a giveaway. I think we should print off a really awesome picture of the car and have us sign it, and let's give it away on social media.
What a great
concept. You're the director of content, and maybe Dale Jr. would sign it too to make it actually be worth something.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good idea. Yeah.
Well, why don't you bring some to that awesome suite experience we're going to have
I'll pay for the shipping because I know Mike's budget around here gets really tight since he overpays the three of us so much.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
How was the
pre-race? You guys get paid?
How was your pre-race appearance Sunday on the front stretch of Dover?
It was awesome. There was one surprise, Jason, that we weren't aware of. We showed up. We jumped on stage. We're having this great talk with the fans. We were fortunate enough to have Justin Haley and Corey LaJoy stop by. But after this thing was over, it was brought to my attention by my crew chief, Trent Owens, that our audio was being piped essentially through the whole state of Delaware. Everybody at the racetrack, whether they were in the garage, whether they were outside of the midway, our audio was piped everywhere. So I was not aware, and I guess it wouldn't have really changed much, but we were essentially broadcasted.
I don't know, man. We got on there. In the first 15 seconds we were on that stage, I thought we were going to get escorted off. So,
well, one of us, I'm not going to mention any names, starts dropping bombs all over everybody. And I was like, I just looked at him. Oh, boy.
Yeah, and I'm sitting there looking. There's all these like kids out there. I'm like, we're done. We're just gonna get out of here.
Now that I went back and think about it, like all the kids. There was a couple kids in front of us, but now we're talking about all the kids at the racetrack because it's in the grandstands, the garage.
Yeah, like
I used to watch a show like something at the Apollo, and they would bring this cane out and just hook them and pull them off stage. I felt like I was probably gonna get hooked any minute.
So basically, we're never going to be allowed to be on stage ever again.
Well, that's not true.
I mean, probably not at a racetrack, but there's probably stages that.
Well, I mean, I guess maybe Darlington hasn't learned yet because you guys will be on stage.
Nobody's told Darlington yet, so they haven't had time. So we're going to do it again this week at Darlington.
Yeah, my buddy Kerry Tharp, president of the racetrack, huge Gamecock fan, worked for University of South Carolina forever. He called me and he's like, "Man, I need some ideas on things to do to spike up this racetrack."
Oh,
and I was like, "Oh, I got a great idea. Kerry, just call Mike Davis and tell him that me and TJ and Freddie and Casey, if she's around, we want to come out and hang out with the fans." So we're back this weekend, trackside, Darlington.
I pray I make the race.
What race?
I pray we don't get escorted out of there.
Hey, these are my people.
Well, that's the issue.
That's the scary part.
Oh, yeah. I mean, remember, if you get a ticket on your way down there, call Brett. Remember?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, just do not speed through MacB. Okay, do not speak.
Is it MacB or
McBee?
It's MacB. Idiots that grew up in the north. You don't know how we say towns down here.
Where is the A?
MacBee, South Carolina.
MC is Mac.
Okay, you stop in MacBee and walk in the Huddle House and in the convenience store and ask them how the they say their name.
We can't help you guys got dumb accents.
MacBee.
You can't sound like it. Where is the A?
Just like it's not Jamie McMurray. It's Jamie McMurray.
Where do you get a cheeseburger and a Happy Meal?
McDonald's.
What a great sponsor.
So Trackside Live stage at Darlington Sunday from 11 to 11:30.
Awesome.
Y'all will be out there. You'll be joined by Donnie Allison and Red Farmer. Oh,
Donnie Allison and Red Farmer.
I thought it was Bobby Allison.
I thought that's what the first one said. But
Donnie Allison.
I'll check.
Woo. Dude, Red Farmer.
Red Farmer's a legend.
I learned a lot about Red Farmer at the Hall of Fame deal when he gave, like, that man.
He's a stud.
Dude, like unreal. Like I hope that maybe there's that he puts a book out someday, because that man has a lot of stories from just hard nosed racing back in the day.
And yes,
amazing stories that he told at the Hall of Fame.
We're fortunate, and I truly mean this. I know I'm a sarcastic here a lot.
That's not
true. For us to be able to share the stage with Hall of Famers, like, that's pretty freaking awesome to come from. Pageland, South Carolina, wherever you Yankees came from, like, I think we've made it.
Not Pageland, you know?
No, it's not Pageland. It's Pageland. Some people call it Pageland. No, that's not how you say it.
Well, there would be a space between the two words if it was Pageland.
Yes, or something.
Or it would be, you know, if it was MacBee, there'd be an A between the M and the C.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right. Well, Monster Mile saw 21 green flag passes for the lead, which is the most since 2013, and now all is right in the world, and Chase Elliott has a win. What'd you guys think of Dover?
I told everybody at the show on Sunday morning that Chase Elliott was going to win at the pre-race deal, so if you just want this week's winner, just make sure you stop by the show at Darlington.
Did you pick him?
Here?
No, because
I can only use him once a year.
If you knew he was going to win.
Different strategy.
If you knew he was going to win.
Dover, I don't know. I saw a lot of people praising the Dover race this week. And I'm kind of on board with Kelly Crandall. I read her article last night, and I thought it was a good race. I did not think it was as great as everybody's kind of making it seem. But when you compare it to the last 5 or 6 years there, yeah, it's probably pretty good because they've been awful. So it's,
you thought Talladega was a great race because your car was fast, and yesterday your car sucked. So you think the race sucked? Is that what we're trending towards?
I just said the race was good if you clean your ears out. But you got to temper expectations. That was a great race yesterday. A great race.
I thought it was a great race.
Okay.
I've seen 25 years of races at Dover.
Does it have anything to do with your car running top 10 all day?
I would rank that one in the top 6 or 7 races I've ever seen.
Ever at Dover.
Me personally, in person, 25 years, yes. 100%.
TJ, what do you think?
You are still drunk.
I think it was.
I'm on a wagon.
I was worried that it was going to be a Martinsville on steroids. It was going to be super hard to pass. But the groove moved. When the grooves move there, it is a good racetrack. The exits are narrow. There's a lot of room to get out. Like, I mean, we saw Kyle Larson spin out. This reminded me of watching Kyle Busch back in the day, Carl Edwards, Greg Biffle, Jimmy,
Tony Stewart,
coming off turn four, just broadside every lap, driving it. That's what these guys were doing. And I saw the leaders, Ross and Chase, raced side by side for, what, 3-4 laps?
Yes.
For the lead.
Ripping.
Yeah, like just and waiting for one of them to have that little bit of slip up. I thought the only thing that I would like to see a little more of would be the times fall off just a little bit more for the tires. But I also liked the fact that there were lines to cross with tires. You could go too far with your setup and hurt the tire. We saw some guys have some right front issues, and I think that's a big part of making it a good race. You know, it's not just an unlimited boundary there. We had guys that you could go too far and cross the line. Other than that, I mean, I thought it was a really good race.
I mean, I hate to say the more we talk, probably the better the race is, but I felt like I had to talk a lot yesterday. I mean, there was constantly a lot going on, comers and goers. I feel like the winner of the weekend was Goodyear. I felt like they finally brought a tire that rubbered up the racetrack. We had tire fall off. Yes, TJ's right. There was a point where we kind of reached maximum fall off when you started running those 20s to 40s there at the end of a run. But Goodyear was a winner. I thought the biggest loser of the weekend was whomever missed the opportunity to move the race up 1 hour on Sunday, because we had a massive crowd show up at this race. We saw the rain forecast change. We could have easily moved this up to a 2 p.m. start, which would have gave us an opportunity to put more racing in front of our fans that are actually live. And that's what I mean is, when we start putting our fans that are at the racetrack first, it's going to help our sport. It's going to help the environment of the event. It's going to help the energy. I'm a huge college football fan because the atmosphere is better at college games than pro games, period, hands down. Now, I'm talking about SEC football versus a freaking typical game. Now, Kansas City Chiefs, Buffalo Bills, they bring it, right? But that's why people want to go there. That's why you want to watch on TV.
They bring it, break it, and then leave it.
I was disappointed that as a sport, whomever has that authority, and I don't know who it is. We had Dale Jr. here 2 weeks ago. He told us TV is king. So maybe TV was king and said, no, we're not moving it up to 2 o'clock. But I was very disappointed that we didn't have an opportunity to put more laps in person live in front of everybody there.
I will say, just knowing a little bit of background, you have to keep in mind the IndyCar race was going on right before it. There were other conflicts.
I don't care.
Of course you don't. But I'm just trying to play devil's advocate as to why they
IndyCar isn't even a pimple on a bull's ass in our sport. And I mean that with all due respect. If it were the Indy 500, Casey, I would eat crow. This is not the case. They have a couple 300,000 viewers to our 2.4 or to 4.5 million viewers, depending on what network we're on. If we're making decisions based on what IndyCar is doing, we're already failing.
It was a pure statement about the fact as to why they might have made it.
I thought the atmosphere at the track was really good Sunday morning. Looking at that crowd, I mean, that stage that was behind their front stretch, that thing was rocking.
How about the Amish band out there rapping and singing Motley Crue? They were dressed as Amish people.
So I looked out there past like where the monster is, and they had like a great looking fan area for all sorts of stuff going on.
Well, we looked out before we went down to ours. Me and Brett were sitting there, and there was a huge crowd of the monster. Somebody must have been doing over there doing an appearance. There was a huge crowd at the stage where the Amish band was playing. We had a huge crowd on the front stretch.
How did the Amish band get electricity? That's what I can figure out. Hey, shout out real quick, too, before we move on.
What an idiot.
Marcus Smith and SMI, they're rain playing. If you're a ticket holder there, they give you one full year to get to come to another SMI racetrack. Hey, there's some really good SMI tracks coming up this summer and in the fall. So shout out to those guys for taking care of the fans, because it makes you realize that they want the fans to be a priority. But the tracks don't have a say in whether or not you move it up an hour.
Hey, you know, you beat a dead horse on here. We with this deal, with starting the races late, with our tracks with no lights, you don't give yourself any kind of window. You get rain, the race is over, you know, and it's unfortunate, and it happens a lot, you know, I don't know. There's
tons of theories out there on why Dover doesn't have lights. Like there's all these theories of the town want to prove it, or, you know, whatever, want to prove it. Like at the end of the day, if they don't have lights, you have got to move that start up, because you, like you said, if the start is 3:15 and it's raining at 3:15, you're already looking at a 5 p.m. start. Well, the sun goes down at 8, you're in trouble. You don't have a window
to experience it. It hurts the people that go there. You know what I mean? Like that's, I don't know. To me, that's, you can, if you want to watch the race, like if you're working, people watch the race on their phones, all sorts of things now. So it's not like you're limited to your house when you watch our races anymore. But I hate it for the people that go there and living the experience there, and, you know, they get to see a little bit of the race. And it was a good race, man. I would have wanted to see all of it.
Agree with you.
And it trickles down to the teams also, because the teams now can't get hotel rooms because, you know, the rain was projected really mostly at that night. You know, it was like 7-8 o'clock it was going to start. So I don't think a lot of teams really were worried about the rain. And all of a sudden we look and it's going to get here faster. It's going to get here at 2-3 o'clock now. And now they don't have hotel rooms. So now a majority of the teams had, and some drivers even had to fly home. My team went home. I did not, but my team went home and their flight back the next day was at 6 o'clock in the morning. The boarding began at 6 o'clock in the morning. So now,
and you weren't going to get home till seven
and a guy, yeah,
six or seven.
Yeah, oh, and I'm not, even if I go home
at least seven,
if I get home at noon, I'm not going to, I'm not, it's not like I'm ever going to go to bed at 9 o'clock. It's just, I don't do that. So, but like Jason Jarrett, he went home, had a drive from Concord to Hickory. So that's even, that's an hour and a half at least.
Yeah,
then
at
get
least.
Up at probably 4 o'clock knowing him and drive another hour and a half down here to back, go back. So, I mean.
No, it was probably earlier than that.
It probably was earlier than
probably
that.
Probably about to be three. Because, yeah. I mean, if they're taking off at six, when they take off?
They took off. The takeoff was like, the doors closed at like 6:45, I think.
So, oh, yeah. 6:15. I text our travel lady, Kathy, who's awesome. And I was like, hey, I do not want to fly home and get home at 9:30 and get back up at 5. I won't sleep good. She's like, well, we're all flying home. And I was like, okay. So I got on the phone and I spent $300 to spend a night at a Comfort Inn. But hey,
you, is that my, what you're doing in the rain right there?
I got my 8 hours. I got my, yeah, I was standing. Yeah.
Well,
we found, the only spot at Dover Speedway where the freaking cell phones work. So that's why we didn't get, we were literally standing in the rain trying to find a room.
We drove by him and Herm's like, what are those idiots doing standing in the pouring rain?
On the phone.
We were making sacrifices.
Oh, all right. Well, let's kick off Spot On Spot Off by hearing a little bit more about our presenting sponsor, OfferPad.
Is it time to do something different in your life and make a big old move? Well, if it is, let our friends at OfferPad help you out.
If you need to sell your home to make that big move, OfferPad is the easiest and most convenient way to do so. And you can get the process started right now.
Log on OfferPad.com and take 5 minutes to fill out the form about your home. You'll answer some basic questions, and 5 minutes later, you'll submit it to request a cash offer.
Yeah, and that cash offer will be ready for you in less than 24 hours. It's never been this easy to get started with the home selling process.
Now that the summertime is approaching, I may need to do just that so I can find a home with a pool. Do not tell Megan.
But good news, Freddie. After you submit the form about your current home, you can shop for homes on OfferPad.com and find one with a gigantic pool.
We're racing at Darlington this weekend, and South Carolina has an OfferPad market in one of my favorite cities, Columbia, South Carolina. If you live there or are wanting to move there, please use OfferPad.com.
I don't think I'd ever want to live in Columbia, but that's okay because OfferPad has markets all across the United States, so I'm sure I can find a home with a pool somewhere else.
And most important part, when asked where you heard about OfferPad, select the NASCAR options so they know we sent you.
Spot on, spot off. It goes like this. Spot on means you agree.
I'm spot on.
Are you joking me?
He's lost his mind.
Oh, and by the way, no one ever seems to agree. And then spot off means you disagree.
Spot off.
Here we f***ing go.
This is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
But if you're TJ, there's only one correct answer.
I don't know.
It's time for Spot On, Spot Off.
First topic. Justin Allgaier leads the most laps, but finishes second driving the door bumper clear car in the Xfinity race at Dover. Spot On, Spot Off. Brett.
Spot on. Proud of Justin. Proud of what we've done here. Really happy for our listeners. Man, Josh Berry just rained on our parade. You know what I mean? I mean, he just flat out rained on it. I saw in stage two him come to life, and I saw him running Justin down, and I saw him move up. And again, we just talked about it with TJ. When you can move around, you can make things happen. And I saw Josh moving around. I was like, man, we might be in trouble. And then we had the bad pit stop at the end, lost some spots. For Justin to come back to finish second in and of itself is a pretty big statement. But, I mean, spot on for Justin being a good player. I mean, he came on the podcast for us to announce the deal. All the fans bought up the diecast and the T-shirts. As proud as I was to see what the brand's done and what the show's done, it's equally as proud just for all the listeners out there who were pumped up. I saw a ton of freaking DBC shirts walking around at the casino.
Yes,
obviously, we saw some at the racetrack. So did I want to win? Once Daniel Hemric, we restarted second, once we were fading and it was obvious we didn't have the speed to contend for the win, I was truly pulling for Justin. I was like, man, win this race. I want to go to victory lane. Not only for all our lovers, but also for some of you f***ing haters out there.
Jesus. I'm spot on. Justin drove a great race. I am spot off for Jason Burdett probably sharing his speed secrets there. Way to go, Burdett. You kind of messed this one up for us because Justin's been – that's one of Justin's best tracks, if not his best track. So, but yeah, great run for Justin. Made it, you know, put our faces out front for a long time. And the main part is he didn't – I don't think there was a scratch on the thing. So that was pretty good. But yeah, spot on. Great job, Justin. Everyone involved with it. It was cool to see it run good and lead a bunch of laps.
Ready.
So I have a confession to make.
Oh, God. Should we turn the lights off? You need to go in that room?
I think it's my fault we lost.
Tell them a story.
So.
Oh, you did the keys thing. Wait.
Stage two.
Hashtag jinx.
So I'm all the way to the left of the spotter stand, and Jason Jarrett, my teammate who rides with me at 2311, is all the way to the right. So Justin wins stage two. I'm like, man, this thing's a missile. Like, I think we're in good shape here. But I didn't want Jason, like, I was going to go to victory lane if we won. So I didn't want Jason to take off the roof, get to the car, and not have the keys and me not be going out there and then him being stuck. So I was like, I better go give him the keys to the car just in case.
Yeah.
So I went down there, gave Jason the keys. I said, hey, just in case Justin wins this thing, you got the keys. So, you know, not even thinking in my mind that Jason spots for Josh. So now
you double whammy.
Yes. So then Jason, now that I had to go back after they took the lead and the late caution, I just went to give me my f-ing keys back, kiss my ass. So then I had to drive to take him to victory lane. But yeah, I mean, like these guys said, just super proud of Justin, them guys. And we see this a lot too with like, I feel like Danny back in the day elevated everybody at Gibbs, like Martinsville performance, you know, once like Danny won a bunch of races and all of a sudden Kyle was winning a bunch. Martin was winning a bunch. You see this here with I think Justin at Dover. I think where'd they finish? Like first, second, fourth, and fifth or something like that? I mean,
Sam Mayer came from the back twice. I'll tell you what, if that kid ever learns how to stop speeding on pit road,
not actually that hard to learn.
He's like the new Denny Hamlin.
Maybe I mean, he's, stop speeding
it's every
on
week.
Pit road.
It's like every week.
Who's going to tell him that that's the worst penalty you can get and you do it to yourself?
I just told him.
Good Lord. Yeah. Do you not like running with faster cars up front and winning?
Yeah, I agree with you. I tell you what else was cool too about this particular paint scheme is sponsorship activation. Like seeing what Jason did at a racetrack, and I'm not saying this because you're sitting here, Jason, but like it's really cool to see sponsors dive in and get the most bang for their buck. And it's pretty obvious that Dirty Mo Media knew how to do that and leverage this thing. Yeah. And it was really cool to see all the drivers be good sports like Landon, Daniel, even AJ. I saw AJ had a major role in one of your videos. Like, it's really cool for those guys to participate in that because they don't have to do that, right? That's out of the goodness of the sport and heart and just
Landon?
Appreciating everything.
Which one's Landon?
Landon Castle. He lives in a castle.
Oh, you spot for that, Freddie?
Yeah, he drives one of those cars.
Oh, so basically hashtag blame Freddie for the loss.
Yeah, blame Freddie.
As soon as the restart happened, I wanted to run back down there and get the keys because all of a sudden Justin was running with us. I was like, I think I messed this up.
I knew it was going to be bad because I like literally we had our pit stops and then I went to the bathroom, came back and I'm like, what the hell happened here? Freddie?
Spot on, spot off. NASCAR's decision to not give teams an extra set of tires during the cup race. TJ.
I'm spot on with it. I mean, it puts you, you know, I'm fine with the limits like that. You got them, every team, same for everybody. So that's what kind of creates some different pit strategies. And that's where you get some comers and goers and, you know, it mixes things up. If everybody was on the same tire every single stop, I like it.
Yeah, I think I'm 1,000% spot on just for the fact that I think this is what lends itself to making some of the Xfinity races so good that we talk about how much better they are than the cup races a lot of times is they have tire limits. They have strategy. They can't just come down pit road every time the yellow flag comes out. You know, there's certain instances where I think, you know, you remember, Indianapolis back in 2008 or whatever it was when we had a caution every 10 laps.
Yeah, that was
a track issue. You know, that was,
that was a Dale Jr. issue.
That was a track issue where they literally wore tires out every 10, 12 laps. Yeah.
We ran like 10 and it blew. So,
You know, that obviously warrants the NASCAR to step in and do something. This was a team thing. Teams pushed some of the 100%. limits, and they had excessive tire wear versus other guys. We never had a tire issue all day long. You know, but at some teams, I think, did you court a tire at the end of that run? I know you were backing up real hard.
No, I was out there on like 50 lap tires.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
We tried to save a set there. Yeah. Obviously, opt for tri position.
It worked good for a little bit.
But like, we did the same thing. We were on 50 lap tires also, but we were able to move forward at the end where the quali cars were backing up. So obviously, they were a little more aggressive on something and had less tire left than we did. But you know, some guys got, I think Reddick got a flat. Yeah. Like, it's this risk versus reward.
Yes. This is, there are certain things you can do to a car in race setup that get, that's, that you know it's faster, but it's risky. And I like
TJ spot on. Freddie's 1,000% spot on. I'm 1,000,000% spot off. This is the Cup Series. This is the premier series in America where we have tens of millions of dollars to spend, and we're going to start limiting tires. If you see that, you're going to see guys stay out at the competition caution. You're going to see the whole strategy be known the night before the race. I will eat crow on something I said last year about this one lug nut deal. I said one lug nut is going to make the pit stops more even. We're going to see less movement on pit road. Holy cow, is that a lie? We're seeing all kinds of movement on pit road when the caution comes out. But I am for teams at the Cup Series level. When the caution comes out, if you're at Darlington, if you're at Dover, even if you're at Talladega, if you want to come get tires, this is big boy racing, you should have the opportunity to come get tires. Spot off.
He's being an idiot.
Don't listen to him.
So you think it's better to just come down, fire four tires on there all night long versus having any kind of tire strategy?
Everybody's going to do the same thing there.
Yeah. Nobody makes you come get tires. Nobody. We had an opportunity yesterday to pit or stay out. We had tires. We stayed out. So you still, when Ryan Newman won all those races staying out, did we have limited tires? No, he opted for track position. He opted for two. He opted for four. These crew chiefs make $500,000 plus a year to decide whether or not to pit and what adjustments to make when they pit.
That's what they did yesterday.
If you don't have unlimited tires, you don't even have a decision. You got to say, oh, I got to save a set here. There's 100 laps left. I can't burn it. I'm not for that.
Or it's the complete opposite, where you just assume everybody's going to take
tires. There was so much talk on our radio whether we wanted to try to save a set or not pit. But you don't do that if you have limited tires.
This is the Cup Series. This is not the Xfinity. The Xfinity Series does it for cost. The Cup Series has already done enough to save these owners money. If they can't afford a $2,500 set of tires, they don't need to be out there.
I can't wait for the 350th episode for Brett to bring up this episode back and say, I was wrong on that right there.
The only thing that I've ever in my career considered is when you guys talk about different compounds. And I don't really even know where I stand on that, but if you had a softer tire or two sets of soft tires laying, would that be a thing I would entertain? I would listen to your argument on yes or no. But to limit tires in the Cup Series for me is profound.
Whatever you say, Brett. Spot on, spot off.
Hey, let me work. How many sets do we have?
I have no idea how many we have. Is it
eight or ten? I'd have figured eight.
I know we had three. I had three left in the last stage. So we probably had seven or eight, I would think.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Brent, how's your social battery right now? Are you drained or busting with energy?
Dude, I'm always busting with energy. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter.
What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some alone time.
Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery.
Therapy is helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try.
It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime at no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/bumper today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/bumper. A caution comes out for AJ Allmendinger's tire during green flag pit stops while leaders Kyle Busch and Alex Bowman pitted. Freddie, spot on, spot off.
If I was 1,000% spot off, I saw it on the last time. I got to be 1,000,000,000% spot off here. This was the most dangerous situation we've seen yet with this deal.
Yeah.
You know, you got a tire rolling around the racetrack with cars at speed, you know, and a confined location. You know, you're gonna, I mean, listen, I don't know what the fix is, and I've talked to a couple tire changers, and it simply sounds like the pressure to be fast is outweighing the need to get the tire tight. And some of these guys, some of the more inexperienced guys that are doing pit road or on pit road, can't tell if the tire's tight. So you think it's tight, you leave pit road, and guess what? It's not. So, you know, there's a lot of factors in that everybody, it boils down to everybody, like Brett said, the movement on pit road is so much this year that, you know, small mistakes not used to cost you one or two spots. Now they cost you 10 or 15. So the window of how fast you've got to be, we've got teams inventing new styles of pit stops with this deal. So I think the pressure of how fast you want to be, guys are dropping the jack a little bit too fast before the wheel gets completely tightened up. You know, the changer is just hitting the lug and coming off before it's too tight. So, you know, it's just the onus on being the fastest is causing these guys to leave these wheels loose. And it's not something new. This is not new in the sport. We had wheels loose every week last year, but the problem is you got a chance to fix it. You know, you go out there and feel it. Okay, I got a loose wheel. I got to come back to pit road and fix it before your damn wheel falls off and you lose half your team for a month.
But if your wheel was loose last year, you had a 60 to 80% chance that it would stay on and be fine.
Because
you had five lug nuts on that particular wheel. And if you hit three in a triangle, you actually could run a full run on it, right? So that's a 60%, 80% if you got four on.
They were doing four on purpose most of the time.
Right.
You know, like
to get off pit road faster. Yeah, so that's where this came from. But Casey, this could be a show in and of itself. I really wish we had a jack man in here, a tire changer in here, a crew chief in here, an owner in here, a NASCAR representative in here, because to me, this warrants a gigantic discussion. This tire came off when AJ Allmendinger left pit road, and we had a long lapse from the time the tire came off until the caution came out. And if a vehicle running 160 plus miles an hour hits that tire, I don't know what happens. I don't know if the tire goes over the backside of the casino or if it goes through the driver's windshield. I don't know what can happen here. So when we have a tire loose, the NASCAR spotter has to call the tire out and the NASCAR tower has to immediately respond. So we had an error there where there was a big lapse, and that's what concerns me the most about the situation. When I look at it, though, as another tire came off, Denny Hamlin's tire came off. Like every race, somebody's losing a tire. The tire changer, the jack man, something's going on. I mean, I heard there was one scenario yesterday where the one lug nut actually fell out of the gun and the guy didn't know it and he hit the tire. He thought the lug nut was on the tire. And when the car left, the lug nut was laying on the ground. Okay. So if we have those situations occurring, I had a long debate with Jeff Burton about this. I don't know if you guys were around when I was talking to him about it the other week when we were at Richmond. And I was basically saying, Jeff, we've got to do something here. This isn't working. And he's like, well, every other form of motorsports in the world makes it work with one lug nut. Why can't we? Well, I don't know, Jeff, but right now we cannot. So what do we do to make this stop? I mean, when you look at a team like Joe Gibbs Racing, everybody on that team is a Joe Gibbs Racing employee, okay? Colleague Racing. None of those guys are Colleague Racing employees. They're all Trackhouse Racing employees. So we have got a tire changer, a jack man, and now our crew chief for AJ Allmendinger that is suspended when two of those guys are just subcontracted out, right? So, I mean, it's a very fickle situation on what I think is fair. And I'll go back and say this again. I said this to Jeff Burton. Four races is too long. And guess what you're bringing in to take that guy's place?
A less experienced guy.
A guy that's not good enough to be a starter on Sunday. So because we had a personal foul on a safety on our defense, we're kicking our quarterback and our running back out too. I don't agree with the way NASCAR is handling these suspensions and these particular things. And, I mean, we talked about this week freaking one at Daytona. We saw two, three guys lose their tire there. We cannot keep doing this. Something bad is going to happen.
So what's an adequate suspension?
I don't know the answer to the question. I wish I did. I can't say that getting rid of your best tire changer who made a freaking – the lug nut's laying on the ground.
Which is not – the lug nut is supposed to stay in the gun.
Tell me how
guns are built.
That happens.
What about the crew chief? Do you think the crew chief has any say?
You're right. If it's no different than me walking down to TJ and unplugging his radio and throwing it off the back of the roof and saying, hey, good luck spotting without your radio.
So, like, I see a lot of people ask us about this on Twitter or whatnot, about the crew chief being suspended. And nowadays, I think it's ridiculous that the crew chief gets suspended. Last year, it was almost acceptable to me because the crew chief was the one making the call to whether they were going to put three lug nuts or four lug nuts or five lug nuts on this pit stop. You know, the last stop of the day was always five, but I promise you before that, they were putting four on every time. So that was a call the crew chief was making, you know, to his pit crew. So I could understand that back then, you know, if you tell the guy to hit four and he's only getting three tight and the wheel falls off, that's on you. Nowadays, the crew chief's got nothing to do with it. I don't understand how the crew chief is still getting suspended. I don't know what the answer is. Is the answer just don't suspend them? Because like Brett said, you're asking for more trouble by putting less experienced guys out there. You're going to have more wheels falling off. So maybe it's a fine. Maybe it's a hefty fine. Maybe it's a points penalty for the team.
No qualifying next week, starting the back, something like that?
I think we see now what hurts the most is points penalties. And I think...
Oh, you think?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Look where you're at in points over 1 point penalty. You know, if you start losing wheels, take points away. You know, and I don't know that it has to be 100, but, you know...
But going back to the root of the problem, then, if teams are trying to make the fastest pit stops possible, which is fair because, you know, that's their job, what can be done to mandate making sure that it's safe?
Make them wait on fuel.
To ensure that it's on.
I mean, if I tell you that I'm going to give you a 25 to 50 point penalty for your wheel falling off, maybe you're not so worried about losing three spots on pit road.
Denny's wheel still falls off.
Oh, 100%.
I'm not saying your idea is bad. I'm just saying, again, this could be its own show if we had the right people in the room, but those conversations are going to happen behind closed doors, and somebody's going to get mad at us for talking about it.
This is the risk versus reward thing. Do you want to be fast off pit first, or do you want to make sure they're all tight and you don't have a penalty of some sort? Like, this is what creates the separation and change on pit road.
But here's the thing. Nobody is leaving pit road with an intentional loose wheel. That tire changer thinks he's good. That jack man thinks he's good. Like,
if we all wait on the same amount of fuel, everybody's going to come off pit road.
We spent all winter training for this, and then the very first race, we're kicking people out for a month. Holy cow.
I don't know if I agree with the suspensions of the personnel, but
I 100% disagree with it.
I do think Freddie might be out, like some sort of like you don't qualify next week, or you get a fine or a point penalty or something like that's more adequate in my opinion. But
moving on, Ross Chastain throws a block on Martin Truex Jr. and the 19 wrecks on the backstretch while battling for third on the final lap. Freddie.
You know, I watched this last night when I got home. I got on the plane, and obviously I'm on the Joe Gibbs Racing plane, and some of the guys were really mad, and Martin, you know, got taken out and this, that, and the other, but I did not see it at the time. And I got home, and I was expecting it to look a lot worse than it did. It looked to me like Ross got a good run off of turn two. I'm sorry, Martin got a good run off of turn two and was going to get to the outside of Ross. And I listened back to Ross's audio, and Brandon McReynolds kind of counted it down just like any of the three of us would. You know, it was one back coming top, you know, outside. And Ross decides to, you know, kind of crowd him a little bit and take his lane away. I don't think he, like, egregiously stuffed him in the wall. He just kind of moved up and made Martin lift. And when these cars react a lot different than Bubba had told me this back in, I forget if it was Vegas or wherever we almost killed Eric Jones. He went to miss a wreck, and I was calling bottom because the bottom was way clear and there's a little bit of room up top, and he went top, and he just told me, he said, listen, I know the bottom was open and it was the safer route, he says, but in that instance, if I would have tried to hang a left to the bottom, I would have wrecked. And then we did wreck when we tried to miss Eric Jones later in that race. So these cars react differently. And Denny, I think, had the same issue when he hit Cody Ware. You know, he jumped on the brakes and the thing snapped sideways, and now he's trying to gather it back up. So now he's chasing it down the hill. But, you know, when Martin rolls out of the throttle, I mean, there's very slight contact in the video that I saw. And then Martin rolls out of the throttle, and he's just like, he's along for the ride the rest of the way down the backstretch. But, you know, of course Ross don't care. We already said that last week. But, you know, it wasn't as bad as I was expecting it to look like.
I want to talk about something. Freddie and I had dinner with Ryan Preece on Sunday night after the rain out. And what did he say about these video cameras?
Unbelievable. He said they're unbelievably good.
So Ross is getting information from his resource, his spotter, telling him that this guy has a run, this guy's coming outside, and Ross, in my mind, used that camera to the fullest extent that he could to basically say, I'm willing right now as a guy with two wins, as a guy who's locked in this playoff, I'm willing to slide up in front of Martin Truex and see what the f- he's going to do. And what did Martin do? He lifted. If Martin doesn't lift, does Martin get wrecked?
I think he no. Well,
probably not.
Maybe he gets caught in it, but Ross gets wrecked.
I think the way the freaking banking is there, he shoots Ross across the bottom of that racetrack. Ross hits a ton, and Ross wishes he wouldn't have came up. Martin Truex was outside of Ross Chastain when Ross moved up. But once again, we're back to what we talked about last week. If Ross races you like a butthole, he doesn't care. I've spotted for Ross Chastain. I know what he's capable of doing. He is a super talented fast race car driver, and these cars are obviously fitting his driving style like nobody else. I mean, there are guys that we're seeing who are talented drivers struggle in these cars. If you think Ross Chastain got out of that Spire car and all of a sudden could get in this car and run 25 spots better, we talked to Corey LaJoy about it on the stage the other day. That's not how this happened. This is a good car. This is fitting Ross's driving style. And I wouldn't want to be his teammate right now. Would you want to be Ross Chastain's teammate right now, the two-car team?
I have that in my notes. You know, and you see that teammate making some mistakes on the racetrack. Speaking of Corey LaJoy, he ran Corey LaJoy over, Suarez did, on Saturday, Sunday or Monday, whatever day it was, and wrecked him. You know, I mean, he legit just wrecked Corey LaJoy, just overdrove
Corey
the
actually
entry.
Ran really well.
Corey was running top 15. Yeah, he was running like, yeah. I mean, Corey. He was having a hell of a run. And we talked about it, you know, before the race. And I said, Corey, what would it take for you to leave here happy? And he's like, man, if I get out of here with a top 20, we've had a good day, you know? And
yeah,
he's doing it.
Yeah, Corey did
all
a great
day.
Job.
And then he just gets run over by a guy overdriving his entry. And I mean, is that a product of that? You know, you're back here racing with Corey for 18th and Ross is leading every lap, you know, is the heat turned up? Are you trying too hard here? And that's a good track for Daniel usually. So it's
the heat's definitely get the someone's Ross is turning the thermostat up.
Yeah,
as it goes here. But I'm spot off because you have two wins. You got the first win pretty aggressively. You're on some people's list probably already. You get the next win.
You think
you get the next win? You know, I know he just did the, you know, let the other guys clear the path for him there, but to get back on the lead lap, you made a super bold, aggressive move to be in the lucky dog position. You were basically hoping to jam everybody up and have a wreck behind you to get the lucky dog right then, which is super dangerous, but like you said, he does not care. Now, you got a guy like Truex, you know, arguably in a little bit of a slump for Martin's terms.
I would agree with that.
Martin's been really good at one of his best tracks.
Yep. Having a great day.
And having a good day. Going to come out of there pumped up. But now, because just an unnecessary block, and he's not even going to guarantee pass you. Race one more corner, you know what I'm saying? Like, you don't want to – guess who's – he just put himself on another list with another guy now. You're – for no reason.
Joey Logano was on that list one time, and what happened to him? He won a championship.
Yeah, but
– I don't think Ross is worried about Martin's list.
Yeah, but I just think
I agree with everything you're saying.
You're not racing for a win right here. That win with
6/10 of a mile might change your full season right there.
We get to the playoffs. Martin's having a bad day. Ross is in a transfer position, or possibly, you know. I remember this.
You don't even have to concede to run fourth by letting him outside. You concede to race him back to the line.
You're racing him.
But again, Martin Truex lifted. Ross Chastain doesn't care, and here we are.
Yeah,
I would love to have Ross on the show right now because I'm telling you, I know what his stance is. I don't take my friends I take my friends to racetrack with me. I don't go to make friends with these guys.
To your point about the camera, just to preface this, I don't know if he had it in because a lot of guys don't use it. Bubba only uses it at super speedways. So, but I
he
still,
may not.
Yeah, he might not have. But that
he has mirrors.
But touch it to yeah. Oh yeah, and for a guy like that, it didn't matter mirrors or not. He was coming up. Camera, but
absolutely, he was coming up no matter what.
I thought Jason was giving me like the cutthroat symbol over there for a second.
He's yawning and shit. We're about to choke him out.
I thought he was like, cut it. I was like, oh, what am I? Can't talk about cameras? I don't know what's going on.
It's illegal.
All right, Casey, we're done.
Are you sure?
I don't know. Jason's cutting my throat.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout,
15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Spot on, spot off the Cup Series point standings after 11 races. Austin Cindric and Denny Hamlin are outside the top 16, but locked in with wins, while Austin Dillon and Tyler Reddick are 15th and 16th, but not locked in. Brett.
Man, I got to be spot off for what Tyler Reddick is experiencing. The speed that he's had this year, the race taken away from him at Bristol. You talk about a guy on a list. Like, if I'm Tyler Reddick, man, I got a target on Chase freaking Briscoe, because he's the reason. Chase Briscoe is single-handedly the reason Tyler Reddick is not locked into this playoff as of right now. So to see him on that fringe, huge spot off for him, the speed he's had. Obviously, they missed a setup at Dover. Reddick was never a factor. Austin Dillon was never that great either yesterday, which is ironic because the college cars were pretty decent. They were definitely top 12 cars between AJ before he had his problem, and obviously Justin Haley. But I think that's what this excitement brings. I mean, you've got a guy, Austin Cindric, and I'm friends with his spotter, Doug, and I said to him at his victory party, I said, Doug, no matter what happens this year, you're a Daytona 500 winner the rest of your life, you're locked into the All-Star race, and you're locked into this playoff. And that's definitely what it looks like is going to happen. So big win for a guy like him who we didn't necessarily see. I wouldn't have had Austin Cindric winning the Daytona 500. I probably wouldn't have had me even winning a race. There's a reason he's won a race in 18th in points, because he's struggling at a lot of these places. He smoked the wall yesterday. That's what you expect a rookie to do. You don't expect a rookie to go out and win a bunch of races. But, I mean, big get for Denny Hamlin. I mean, here's a guy that I think is a top six driver in the entire sport, sitting outside of the points, yet he's locked in. So this is why the chase was created this way.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about Denny. Let me tell you something. Denny's in a little bit of a danger zone. And I say this because of what we just talked about, point penalties flying around the sport. You know, they don't have a lot of room to play with any kind of, you know, rear tail panel like the six car did, because if right now, if Denny were to get a 100-point penalty, he's out of the playoffs.
Yeah.
Because it knocks him back to 32nd in points.
He can't. He's got to be top 30 with a win.
Yeah, he's got to be top 30 and a win. So he would be, if he got a 100-point penalty tomorrow or today, Tuesday's their day.
And guess what he lost?
32nd.
Guess what he lost for tech? What, his crew chief.
Oh, yeah.
For 4 weeks.
For 4 weeks. So he'd be 50 points behind Brad.
Been there.
Yeah, you know, he'd be 50 points behind Brad right now for 30th in points if he got a 100-point penalty tomorrow.
I mean, when we got in trouble for the deal with the wheel, we went to another racetrack and we failed tech three times and had to do a pass-through penalty to start the race. Well, guess why? Part of the reason why was our crew chief wasn't there. I mean, Freddie just experienced it. He had some challenges, to say the least, without your crew chief being there.
100%.
It's a pain in the butt. It changes the game.
I think one of the guys I wanted to give a shout-out to looking at the point standings was Eric Jones. Him and Dave Allens have been fast just about every week that I can think of. You know, they've had some issues where they've wrecked late in races where he could be even higher in the points. So that car, that team's had a lot of speed. You know, another team where you look at, you know, the performance of one and the other. But yeah, Eric's been super good just about every week. I think they're in the last playoff spot, right? They're 14th in points, so that puts them in right now. But I mean, I know, of course, this is the time of year where we see, you know, we've had 9 winners in 11 races, and everybody's going to say, oh, this is the year. This is going to be more than 16. There's not. You know, I mean, you look at it. I mean, we can run down a list here, and I can ask you guys. Blaney going to win a race probably. If I'm going to say, if I had to guess, Blaney's probably winning a race.
How many winners are there right now?
There's 9 right now.
Okay, so that'd be 10.
That's 10. Truex probably going to win a race, I would say, between now and whatever the cutoff is.
Typically speaking, and I mean, I'm new car, wider tire, all the things, but typically speaking, TJ, what is the hardest part of our season to be a stud? It's when it's hot outside. It's summertime. It's when these tracks get freaking slick. It's when the Tony Stewarts of the world used to come to life and pop off 2, 3, 4 wins.
Yeah, I think that's when Eric Jones gets better too. But yeah, continue your list.
So Blaney and Truex, I had 2 guys winning.
That's 11.
I got Christopher Bell winning a race at some point. He's been fast. He was super fast yesterday. Came back from two laps down with a loose wheel to finish fourth. I could see him winning a race. And that's about, oh, Reddick. Reddick was the other one that I thought would probably win a race. But you got, but that's still, that's, what is that, 11 or 12 now?
It doesn't
12.
Leave a lot of spots.
12.
What about Logano?
You got Logano. They're not, they don't have the speed right now. They're, the Fords in general, I don't think, have speed to win right now. Logano's off. Mm-hmm. I
could see Harvick winning a race because he's been sneaky quick at times.
I mean, your other guys are Logano, Eric Almirola, Harvick, Jones, Austin Dillon, Kurt Busch, maybe. He's back there 20th. You got a plate race. You got to factor in Daytona. I think you probably get to like 13, 14-ish, maybe, depending on who wins the plate race. But, you know.
Daytona's going to be.
It always is. That was a great idea. I don't know that I love spotting that race, but
no.
From a fan standpoint, you couldn't have a better cutoff race.
I can tell you right now, I'm going into that race in a must-win situation.
100%.
So that's a guaranteed right now. Well, not guaranteed. We could, you know, we were fast yesterday. I thought, I thought Matt and we showed a lot of speed, especially Chris getting the pole and running good all day. It was a good shot in the arm for the company, and it was good to see him running up there. But, you know, making up points and stuff is going to be we're probably going to be at Daytona.
I mean, I honestly think you're in a must-win situation if you're, I mean, even like Jones, I can only see two or three spots being filled by point guys. So that's Blaney's like second in points right now, I think. Truex is up there, top seven or eight. You know, those guys might be a little bit safe on points. But other than that, everybody else, I think, has to be thinking they need to win.
I tell you, man, but blind squirrels find nuts sometimes, right? That's the way it works. But when I look at the Dovers and the Darlingtons and the Charlottes and the ones that are coming, those are grown men racetrack. Like, when you look at the history of our sport, you don't see fluke winners at those places very, very often.
No, but I mean, you also, I could very easily see Tyler Reddick winning this week.
You could see
Tyler Reddick he's fast enough to win anyway.
You could see Tyler winning. You could see Martin winning. I mean, heck, you know, Brad's good there right too now, if they hit the setup right.
I've watched Denny Hamlin race his entire career. That guy coming off of, he had the fastest car yesterday, hands down, without a doubt. Terrible luck. Got in a wreck with Cody Ware. Had the loose wheel. Denny Hamlin will be gunning. Guns are blazing when he gets to Darlington this weekend.
I laughed about, you know, so I saw a couple posts last night that were like, you guys need to talk about the Hendrick dominance. Let me tell you something. JGR was wearing him out yesterday. Hamlin took off. He was gone. The 18 was going to win the race if the wheel don't fall off the 16 after Denny fell out. I mean, I understand they won races, and now they've got all four of their drivers with a win in the first 11 races, which I think has never been done before. But, I mean, yesterday they were not – it wasn't like they were dominating the race yesterday. The 11 and 18 were going to win the race until they had issues.
Denny will be no crew chief and guns blazing when he gets to Darlington. That's what I think.
Moving on, the same topic of Darlington, NASCAR is requiring car numbers be moved forward on the Darlington throwback paint schemes. TJ, spot on, spot off.
Let's go to you first because your car looks the dumbest like this.
I mean, whatever. It is what it is. I don't know if I agree with, you know, one scheme or the other more. It doesn't fit like a... the throwback theme, in my opinion, if you're throwing it back, the reason all the throwback schemes looked right when they would dooms, because that's where the numbers were to start with. But, you know, this is it's a new car. It's a new generation. So I'm okay giving it a shot. Well, I mean, we don't have a choice, but
from a marketing perspective, you can't win here because you're trying to build equity in this new look. And yet you're trying to throw it back. Well, you can't do both at the same damn time. I mean, you literally cannot win with this particular paint scheme and calling it throwback weekend when in reality your numbers are in the 2022 location and not the same location they were in for the first 2 million years you were around. So NASCAR, you know, do I think they made the wrong decision? From a throwback perspective, I would say yes. From a new car branding perspective, they don't want to lose the equity they've gained and potentially confuse maybe the new fans, or even they don't want to wake up all the idiots that were screaming and jumping up and down and throwing stuff at them. I was one of them forever moving it to start with. So NASCAR can't win right here.
No, I mean, and it's not like this is some kind of hill I'm willing to die on by any means, but listen, you want to have a throwback paint scheme weekend. Well, these paint schemes were designed off of where the numbers are placed. And you look at TJ's car, you're running the Viagra car that Mark Martin ran. And it's got a big, gigantic circle on the door.
Can we get some samples?
Where the number was. Well, now you've moved the number out of the circle. So now you just have this random blue-ass dot on the side of this car. Like, I don't understand it. I like Brett said, it's either throwback weekend or it's not. If you're going to do a throwback weekend, let's do a throwback weekend. If we want to continue to run the numbers forward, let's just run what
the hell.
It looked
like it was going to be easy to spot, so I kind of like it.
Yeah, I bet.
It looked like it was going to be
just
easy.
Just follow the one with the blue dot on the door.
Listen, you saw what me and Herman did with it, Richmond.
Oh, my goodness. They don't do you guys any favors over there.
I need to call Steve Newmark, fix this problem.
We told him it was good for short tracks, but anything bigger than that, we're good luck.
I love Steve Newmark, by the way. President of Roush Racing, great guy, longtime friend.
Door Bumper Clear fans, we want to give you five reasons why RacingUSA.com is our favorite store for NASCAR merchandise.
First, NASCAR fans have rated RacingUSA.com Google's top source for NASCAR merchandise, so you can always buy with confidence.
Second, RacingUSA.com automatically discounts every order in your cart, so you always get the best price.
Third, RacingUSA.com guarantees the lowest pre-order prices, so you don't have to shop around for a better price.
Fourth, RacingUSA ships all in-stock orders the next business day, so you can get your order faster than anyone else in the industry.
Fifth, RacingUSA.com has a wide selection of current series hats, apparel, diecast, and novelties for the sport's most popular drivers.
You can find products that aren't available anywhere else, like the exclusive Door Bumper Clear Justin Allgaier autograph diecast that sold out in less than 2 weeks.
RacingUSA.com is Door Bumper Clear's choice for NASCAR merchandise, and we want it to be yours as well. Whenever you need new gear, shop RacingUSA.com, where you're always somebody special.
Nobody's listening, but I don't care. I'm on an episode of Door Bumper Clear.
Oh, TJ's cool, and Freddy kisses Hamlin's ass every chance he gets. AC's beautiful, but she never ever picks her up.
But Briscoe forgot that he had brakes, now the pasta's getting hot.
Elliot gonna hell.
It's time for Reaction Theater.
Oh, let's head into Reaction Theater. Call number one.
God damn tamale, that DBC car looks so damn good on the track, fellas.
Is that you?
Damn, that looks good.
That's me.
Sexy.
Look, even though Justin came in second, I still think we beat Barry to the line by half a straightaway because of those three big-ass guts on the front of that car. JRM for the win. Let's go.
Agreed.
Well, hey, at least Cody Ware did his donuts down the front stretch this week and not down pit road.
That's an improvement. Same guy? Second and third caller? Sound like the same guy.
It did sound similar.
Interesting.
Jason's
give a is really low today, and it's starting to get on my nerves.
Hey, just so you know, somebody was going to call and give Brett a problem on some guy that was on the front stretch. He said you gave him some bad advice or something. I said, call in, leave a message.
I can fully understand Brett giving somebody bad advice.
I want a bunch of money.
Well, the problem is that they actually took it.
I did just, well, go back on that call there. Just another good job by that team to stay out of the headlines for another week.
That new Joe Gibbs pit choreography, pretty damn fast. They were able to get a three-tire pit stop done faster than the rest of the field and get their cars off of pit road 1-2. Oh, wait, was that a tire?
He's not lying. And I think that was the same pit cycle. Bell had his loose wheel also. So
I think so.
It's faster's not always better.
If my future was uncertain like Martin Truex Jr.'s, a top five sounds pretty good right now. Instead, he ends up smashed by the watermelon man. What an idiot.
Martin Truex's Jr. is his future is what? Uncertain. How uncertain is Martin Truex Jr.'s future, TJ?
I don't think Martin Truex Jr.'s future is very uncertain. I think when Martin says he's done, he's gone on his own terms.
I wish my own future was as uncertain as his one.
I would hate to be a professional race car driver, Xfinity Series champ, Cup Series champ, won all those races, super freaking rich, and my future be so uncertain. This guy has no fucking idea what he's talking about right here.
You know, it'd be like me putting a bottle of Fireball in front of you and Brett and saying, this bottle's future is uncertain.
That is a very, very strong analogy.
That might be the funniest thing you've said all year.
TV and NASCAR don't have a attracting new fan base problem. They have a screwing over their loyal fan base problem. You have the biggest crowd at Dover I've ever seen, and you don't adjust the start time for the weather. And they all, who didn't get to come back, miss one of the better races I've seen at Dover in a really long time. And then not to mention the fact you just, FS1 leaves in such a hurry and doesn't even bother to interview Truex. What are we doing here?
I think, listen, so that hour up deal, I believe, has to be done 24 hours in advance, correct? And I think that they all just got kind of caught with their pants down. I think that they thought it was going to rain later in the night, and it didn't. But if we were starting 2 hours earlier instead of 3 o'clock, like we've talked about 1,000 times on here, you don't have to worry about moving it up at all.
So they were caught.
Here's what I don't get. This is where I'm confused. Oh, TV wants ratings, right? TV wants numbers. That's all we hear about. Well, if ratings are your sole priority, why don't we move everything to Fox? Because that's where the ratings are double what they are when we're on cable. So it's almost like a double-edged sword with the stories that you're hearing. But, I mean, look, Sky ain't wrong. You have to weigh the averages. Again, somebody dropped a ball on moving a race up an hour. They had time. They could have done it. They didn't do it.
Dover was crazy on Kyle Busch's birthday. One lap led by Haley, Cody Ware is spinning daily, and Denny lost the tire on pit lane. Yeah, Dover was crazy, but Elliott beat the brakes off Chastain.
I didn't realize it was Kyle's birthday.
Yeah,
it was
Kyle's birthday.
He was undefeated on his birthday until yesterday.
What'd you give him, Jason?
A lot of M&Ms.
It sounds like Kyle gifted himself another trip to sensitivity training on his birthday. I mean, my God. Oh.
So your previous driver had his birthday, but your current driver, Chase, won. So
Justin Allgaier was my driver at Dover.
So what did you do to celebrate Chase's win last night?
Justin Allgaier was my driver at Dover.
I love how he acts like he doesn't have favorites.
Yeah, no kidding.
Cheer against drivers.
Get
more
the
than skirt
out of
drivers.
Your face and tell everybody the
no
truth
kidding.
That you're a big Chase Elliott fan.
I cheer for drivers that I want to see do well, and then I cheer against a lot of drivers.
Why don't we just call Andrew Kurland right now and ask him who your favorite driver is?
He's busy putting diesel in his
dad's car.
In his Tesla.
That's still one of the best stories ever.
What an idiot.
How'd you even get it in there? Well, I had to work it a little bit. Jeez, there's a reason for that.
Bless y'all's heart. Your generation.
To leave an audio message 24/7, go to anchor.fm/dormbumperclear and click the message icon. We'll keep playing the best ones on the show each week.
OfferPad question of the week.
If you could buy your family a new home today, what is one thing you'd want different than your current home? TJ.
A bookcase that had a secret passage in it that I could not tell anybody about. Only I could get in it to a secret room.
He's a bat cave.
Yeah, where it's soundproof. And
well, I was thinking tornado shelter, kind of along those same lines, but I'll just go with a bigger bar. I could always use a bigger bar. Bourbon Collection's growing. I need bar space.
The only thing I need in my house, which I'm not going to need it anymore because Brett's going to get one, is a pool. No. So, I don't know. That's the only thing I
hey,
really
guess
would
who's
like
getting
to
have a pool? My Who? Neighbor across the street that sent us a nice little text
Jonathan
message.
Jonathan Davis is getting a pool?
Yeah, he's getting a pool.
Oh, we're going over to Jonathan's house.
Dude, because you, man.
We're going to look like the caddies in Caddyshack when they go running in the pool area.
He already mows his shirt with his shirt off, and it is not something I want to try.
How do you mow your shirt?
He mows the lawn.
Yeah, I'm sorry. He mows the lawn with his shirt off out there, and then, like, I mean, I know he's just going to get in the pool afterwards.
That's probably a nice sight.
Yeah, it is a nice sight. I'm all, it's just, you know, in his element.
Oh, go get a cash offer in your home today with our presenting sponsor, OfferPad.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Okay, anyways, it's time for us to get into our favorite Xfinity XFi More Than Fast moments from the week. Whether you're behind the wheel or online, speed isn't the only thing you need. What were your favorite More Than Fast moments this week? And we will start with TJ.
My Xfinity XFi More Than Fast moments going to be Chris Buescher getting the pole this week. Super fast, got up on the wheel, got it done in both rounds, and got the pole for RFK.
Freddie.
My Xfinity XFi More Than Fast moment has to go to the 7 Xfinity car. He was the fastest car on the racetrack right up until I jinxed him on Saturday. Unfortunately, only finished second, but the 7 I thought was the best car for the majority of the day Saturday.
My Xfinity XFi series More Than Fast moment was pretty easy, man. I think the Chase Elliott move around Ross Chastain, it's very, very difficult to pass on restarts at a lot of tracks. Dover's one of those places, so for Chase to get that great restart, take the lead. Congratulations to Chase Elliott and his massive, rabid fan base, including our producer, Jason Schultz.
That's cap.
Here on Door Bumper Clear, being more than fast is a way of life. Thankfully, there's plenty of weekly action for our Xfinity XFi More Than Fast moments.
You know what else is more than fast? It's Xfinity XFi. With a speed for all your devices, you also get the reliability and security that keeps your crew connected and protected.
With Xfinity XFi, you can do more of what you love with faster internet and a powerful and secure connection.
Follow at Xfinity Racing on Twitter for even more Xfinity XFi More Than Fast moments. And Casey, do not forget to vote for your favorites.
Thank you, as always, to Xfinity, proud premier partner of NASCAR.
Cap?
Yeah.
Somebody explain to me.
What's cap mean?
Is that cut out?
Is that crap?
If we just keep saying Jason loves Chase.
My daughter's walking around going, slay? And I'm like,
I know what slay means.
Like, we're going to cut somebody up.
What's
right
clay?
Here?
What's cap?
What's slay mean?
I don't know.
Like slay is...
Slay?
What does that mean?
Killing it. I've heard slay is like you're killing it.
Let's let our listeners tell.
So, I mean,
tweet Freddie what you think cap means.
Don't do that because God only knows what our listeners are going to say.
Oh my gosh.
We'll reveal it next week.
Cap. C-A-P.
That's cap.
That's
so
a
you
fact.
Said.
That's a fact. You, does it mean that?
Cap?
No.
No.
You said
it
he
must
likes
mean like
Chase.
Cut out. Like he's cutting it out. No, or like not.
No, he's cutting it out.
I've heard it before, but I don't know. I have any idea what it means.
It won't make it to the show. Let's
segment. We'll do a Gen Z vocabulary lesson one day.
Yeah, I'm not.
Oh, no.
Let's do that next week.
Jesus.
Because I need to know all about these FOMOs and caps and slays.
I can't believe you didn't know what FOMO means.
What did she say?
This reminds me of when Carson came on our show years ago, and she was talking about being in somebody's fields. And I was like, whoa, easy. What does that mean? Well, now I know what that means.
In Paisley.
That could be dangerous in Paisley. A lot of bad things can happen 9 months later. But in my fields was like, this is back to those roots again, Jason. So we're going to need a list.
What did she say before she had the baby? She was going on one more... It was like baby moon? Oh, yeah. Like, I'd never even heard of that before.
We just keep making up stuff.
I need a baby moon. Jeez.
So we need a list, Jason.
All right.
Don't forget.
I'll work on a list.
I'm serious. I want your 10 most high priority words that Freddie and I and TJ are not going to know what it means.
Okay.
And also bring All Guys Fire Suit because now I really want to see Brett try and fit in it.
No, I don't want
to
see that.
Moving on to What an Idiot.
What an idiot, man.
This one's easy for me this week. This is probably the easiest one I've ever had. I don't know how many weeks we've done What an Idiot.
I got a pretty easy one, too. I hope it's not the same one.
I hope it's not, too. This guy, he was having a great hair day.
Oh.
In his mugshot. He was sporting a big old 2022 afro. His name is Daniel Dye. Daniel Dye, to me, was... it sounds like to me he was acting like a normal young kid. he was dirty dancing on some other dude. Another dude didn't like it. Another dude pushed him. And when the guy pushed him, Daniel Dye proceeded to punch him in the balls. And when he punched him in the balls, he ruptured his testicle.
I don't want to talk about this.
And when he ruptured his testicle, Daniel Dye had charges filed against him. And I grew up in a really small town where a lot of really bad things happen, but you never, ever break rule number one of the man code and punch another man or kick another man in between his legs and hit the crown jewels. So, Daniel Dye, you win, hands down, my 2022, not just this week, my hands down What an Idiot award, because you never do that.
ARCA driver, right?
Yeah. ARCA driver. All you got to do is Google.
He was leading.
You just do. He's second to ARCA championship when he pulled this stupid stunt. So all you kids out there listening, don't think you can't screw up a good thing, because you can't. All you got to do is Google Daniel Dye, D-Y-E arrested. You will see this beautiful mugshot and a nut puncher.
TJ.
Go. Let Freddie go first.
Mine is very easy for me as well. And I saw this a couple weeks ago, but now it's relevant because it's coming up this week. Whoever decided that we needed a fake marina at the Miami Grand Prix, what the f*** is that thing? Like, I know, like, the Monaco atmosphere is probably playing into this, but this looks ridiculous. I don't understand.
Well, if you look at where the track is relative to a marina, you might understand.
If you wanted a marina, build the f-ing track near a marina. This looks ridiculous.
Believe me, I think the entire neighborhood would agree, because I'm from there, and I can't tell you how many people have protested this race.
I just want to know what meeting they were like.
I would leave here right now if I didn't have to work this weekend. And I would drive to Miami, and I would park my fat ass on one of them boats in that marina and be just as happy as any human being in America.
You and Tom Brady and LeBron and Michael Jordan.
You give me a boat and water, I don't care.
There is no water.
They're putting water in it.
No, it's vinyl.
Yeah, it's still going to be the place to be. That is going
to
be.
I'd love to see you laying in that vine, laying in that
the
water.
Place to be. I wish I was there.
Jeez, oh man, it looks ridiculous.
I'm gonna get you I'll get you one of them big round floats. We'll just sit you on the wood, and you can sit in it wade backwards.
So when you get your pool, they're just gonna put a sticker out back.
It's gonna be a concrete pad with a sticker on it.
I truly don't think I'm rich enough to buy my way into there. I will admit that. But if I could get in there, and I did not have to work this weekend, I would go do
that. But you could. That doesn't need to be the case. It could just be a bar that's really cool looking, overlooking the racetrack.
Bikinis and beer on a boat. How can you get mad about that in freaking Miami?
They'll still probably be wearing bikinis anyways.
When it's not a real boat,
you can't wear bikinis if you're not on a boat.
Have you been to Miami?
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
I literally am from there. I know.
So you wear a bikini around in Miami?
TJ, who's your one idiot?
I'm going to say on the same topic. I was thinking about this. I saw somebody for standing room only at the Formula One race. Do you know how much it is? You can't even get a seat for
$10,000.
$2,000 just to go in there and stand.
Wow.
That's what somebody was paying for a ticket to go there.
That is an idiot.
So yeah, I told you I can't afford to go on that boat.
If you have to pay $2,000 to go stand there, how much do you think it costs to get a seat or even be on a boat?
I'm on a boat.
You buy me a boat.
I'd love to take my boat. Oh, my bad.
You ain't got a boat.
You ain't got a boat.
Maybe Dale will let you borrow his.
Or Mike Davis's.
Down in the infield F1 race.
Yeah. He could.
I think it's interesting that F1 and NASCAR head to head in America. That's a big deal.
I think are we starting at the same time?
Yeah, same time.
Heads up, and they're on ABC.
Ooh,
and the Cup's on FS1.
Yeah, we'll beat them. But
she doesn't want to be in the IndyCar race.
We may not beat them.
I was just making a statement because I know what it's like to play and stuff like that.
Easy, sassy.
I don't know. I think we beat them, but I don't think we beat them by as much as we should.
We may not beat them. ABC, man, that's a big.
ABC
a big
versus
deal.
FS1.
F1's making a lot of strong moves.
Well, according to Twitter, and I think it was Adam, he tweeted that the Formula One race in Miami was the most desirable tickets of the year. So, and the Coda race was
for them, or like,
I mean, look, you get to Miami, you're super multicultural, right? You're super wealthy people down there. I mean, I've been out there on Star Island. I've obviously spent a lot of nights in South Beach. I mean, normally a South Beach hotel is $800 a night if it's worth a crap. And that's without a freaking F1 race being there. So, everybody this time of year, would love to be in Miami. I mean, all you, you know, Yankees and Midwesterners, it's still freezing and snowing out there. Like, I'd rather be in Miami than where you guys are. So, like, I can agree with that. I can understand why.
Let's look and see how much a hotel room is.
They're doing a lot of things right now.
Flights are expensive because I was supposed to go home this weekend. It is, believe me, you don't want to be in Miami this weekend. It is going to be
I
want to
be there.
Same. Well, really if you bad. Had, like, same. Access, I couldn't go.
I actually disagree. I think Miami would be a fabulous place.
I would like to
be.
Have her look up the Edition with Mary. I would like to be at the Edition. Yeah. I saw Chance the Rapper. Is that his name?
Yep.
He was there last time I was there. Give me a room at the Edition. Give me a reservation at Joe Stone Crab. And give me a ticket to the F1 race. I'd be there in a heartbeat.
But what kind of ticket? Standing room only?
I don't give a Come ticket on a boat if I get to pick.
Why are you not singing? There's a song written about Miami. You haven't even sang it yet.
Which one?
Welcome to Miami.
Oh, yeah. I can't sing the other part when it's not American. Bendito a Miami. That sound
right? Bienvenido.
Is that what it is?
I think so.
Oh.
I think so too.
You want to know how much you think a room is at the Edition?
$2,500.
$2,300.
Dang. I was close.
One night.
Yeah. I told and you. It's not even close to the track.
No, but it's a fun hotel.
So I like that place. See where Lando Norris is putting out on Instagram.
I saw something about playing golf.
Any golfers in Miami, DM me. I'll bet his
blew up.
Yeah, probably not just from golfers either. So,
hey, what's up, DBC fans? If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let us explain.
Well, first of all, Freddie, the best part is it's free. There's nothing better than using a free, awesome service.
To make the process simple and easy, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer.
Anchor helps people find your show by distributing the podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more platforms.
Also, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership.
I like money.
It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place.
We love using Anchor. It's a great platform that lets us hear from the fans in Reaction Theater with Anchor's Leave a Message feature.
So when you create your account with Anchor, you can also utilize their feature and make your own podcast. TJ will be your first guest.
So download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. That's ANCHOR.FM to get started.
Okay, well, moving on to my least favorite segment of this week, DBC picks.
Casey, Brett, you're doing so good. If we were playing golf, you'd be winning. You got a hole in one.
Okay, seriously, I picked a Hendrick driver. They were most likely to do well
at Dover.
It
didn't matter who you guys picked. I was going to win.
We know.
Because if you'd pick Kyle Busch, I was going to lose. But nobody picked Kyle Busch.
I thought about it, too. All right, well, you won with Alex
Bowman. The only way you won is because Ross wrecked Truex.
Yes, on the last lap. I had that in the bag.
I talked to Ross about that Saturday.
I had it in the bag.
And Brett Ross and Jason are leading everyone to 3 wins, followed by TJ and Freddie with 2, and then me.
I'm sorry,
with
Martin.
1. Let's make picks for Darlington, and I'll go first. Man, this was tough.
Why? Because you finished.
I have a question. Is Martin going to try and retaliate Ross?
No.
Yeah,
retaliate.
Retolerate? That's
retaliate.
No.
Okay. Well, I'll go with Denny.
I talked you right into that one.
You did.
You're good. You took him because I was going to take him.
That's a good pick.
Hopefully.
If I'd have had first pick, that's who I'd have picked.
But I don't want to jinx him.
So it's my turn.
I've already picked Denny.
I've
already picked Denny.
Yeah.
Oh, I picked him at Phoenix and he sucked.
I think Freddie's going to take who I want to take, but.
I don't know who the hell I want. I'm going to take. Do, 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 do. I don't know who the hell I want.
Harrison Burton.
Okay, we'll pick for you.
I'll take Kevin Harvick.
Good, good. I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'm going to take Christopher Bell.
That's a big limb. JGR car finished 4th this past weekend, didn't he?
Yeah.
That's Jason. A huge lamb. What an underdog you're going with.
I'll take Ross Chastain.
Stepping out.
He's going Damn. He's going with a speedy guy.
He likes to, he goes from superhero to villain.
He does, man. I feel bad about this pick, but you guys are all going for it. So it. Tyler Reddick.
I mean, that's not really. He's usually the fastest till he hits the fence.
I know.
I'm just saying.
I think that Darlington stripe might be
I'm going to talk to him this week.
He'll be the first one against the wall entering turn three. He'll be the first one to leave a mark on it.
The first championship he won at Homestead, I was in the garage before the race, and I was like, Tyler, man, your car's really fast. Like, you don't have to go ripping the fence right off the bat. He said, oh, yeah, I do. And he did. And he won the championship. So,
you know, what I know. He was pioneering that up by the wall, the highest car at Dover in the middle of the corner. And I told Brad, I'm like, look, Brad, there's probably a little bit of speed up there if you can do it, but that's a green racetrack. And I think it bit him. Yeah. I think he cut a tire down.
He could cut a tire.
Moving on, heading into Darlington, are you guys dressing up for the, you know, throwback theme? Please do.
I'm just handing out samples.
I don't think any of my throwback stuff will fit, Casey. I think I would have to go by a Goodwill or a thrift store to come up with something creative.
There is one close by.
I don't even know if we're running a throwback scheme. Are you running a throwback scheme?
I don't know. I'm going to run a Myrtle Beach and back. I don't really know what my paint scheme is.
What?
Sunny Ledford Band, you'll be on your car.
Yeah, Myrtle Beach.
But Darlington, man, it's awesome. I'm so glad we're back there twice a year now, because when you go there in September, it is so freaking hot. It's almost hard to enjoy it until it gets nighttime. You know what I mean? And now you get to go back in the spring when the weather's still great and all the things. But no, I'm excited. I don't know about what would you wear for you or me, Casey? You're a big fashion queen.
I would wear
Speedo
bell bottoms. You specifically, bell bottoms.
I don't think dudes ever wore those.
They do, actually.
Oh, yeah. Dude, yep. You would look good in them.
Seriously.
Collared shirt, like halfway down. I mean, I'm not.
So you're basically, you want me to dress like John Travolta.
That's exactly
Grease.
What I was going to say.
You're absolutely.
Gonna be, okay. All right.
And I want you to roller skate to the finish line. Spotter stand.
I can't roller skate anymore.
Hey, I mean, if you're a DBC fan, you have a challenge to look out for this week. John Hunter reached out and wanted to come on the show. Yeah. And I couldn't just say yes. So, because he's never brought me those glasses. So I'm still a little bit bitter about that. But I challenged him if he can finish in the top 10 at both races, which he's running a truck for Kyle Busch, obviously, and he's running Sam Hunt's Xfinity car. John Hunter will be here next week or whenever we can get him lined up. So if you're a fan of John Hunter and DBC and you want to see that happen, pull for old...
I saw that on Twitter. Does that rule apply to you guys too?
No. We're going to be here no matter what. If that was the case, I would never
I
be
hope
here.
He brings your glasses.
John Hunter's a guy, we talked about him this weekend, of guys that I would put in some of these cars that are going to come open. He's a guy that if I were an owner or team president, I would go get a John Hunter in the Cup Series.
You will see him at Millbridge a few times. He runs for Chad.
I thought John Hunter ran good in the front row stuff.
I would go get him tomorrow to run some of these Cup cars where a lot of these guys are struggling, and it's not easy to figure out. I'm sorry. It is very easy to figure out who's struggling. Just go look at who finishes outside the top 20 every week. If you're doing it every week, guess what? You own the hot seat.
Just go look at the point standings.
Point standings make it even harder to swallow.
Can you, like, put an asterisk by us?
Yeah. The guy's down there without a 100-point penalty.
Well, the name Keselowski is in your team name. I think your guy's okay.
Okay, all right.
I think you're good.
I don't think they're going to fire him.
No, I think he's good.
Well, as always, thank you all for listening, and thank you to our presenting sponsor, OfferPad, for your support.
Off to Darlington.
Yes.
Yeah, great racetrack. Hope to see you there. Say hi to us.
Don't speed in
McBee.
Don't blow the one stoplight in Pageland.
Nope.
And please do not drive your motorhome on the racetrack before the end of the race.
Will, poor Will.
If you see Freddie at the track asking about Columbia, you might have some PTSD.
I don't know.
Have a great week, everyone.
We out. Holla.
See ya.
Word.
This is a production of Dirty Mo Media.
Check out Dirty Mo Media. YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
Dirty Mo.
Dirty Mo.